The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem, Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Hey, good afternoon. Greetings. Thanks for coming along today.
Welcome back.
Yeah, thanks.
Good to be back. Look who's back.
What's this voice?
I don't even know.
It's actually the Monday edition of The Ride Home, but it's Thursday.
I was telling the listening audience over the last couple of days, John, that I was so disturbed with your decision to not come back to work that I had made all those trips over to your house to try to lure you out.
Right.
You know, like the time that I offered you cash and you said you didn't want it, and the time I offered you more apple pie and you said you didn't want it. And then I thought, well, if cash and apple pie doesn't work, like I don't know where to go from here.
Right. Well, tomorrow's payday. So I just figured I better show up.
I got to be honest. I'm glad you came out on your own.
Well, thanks. I mean, Saturday was my birthday. So, you know, I always sort of have that celebration. And then on Sunday, I woke up with sort of a, not alcohol-fueled, but it was a angst birthday hangover. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, there we go.
You know what my mother calls that?
Mm.
Case of the punies.
The punies.
Punies.
Hey, speaking of your mom, today's mom's birthday.
Ho! I mean, we're going to talk about that later in the show, but I think we should talk about it right now.
Oh, yeah, I think you have to right now. Yeah. And Nanny, what's going on?
Today is your birthday.
Nice.
Happy birthday, Nan.
Oh, Nan.
Nan.
Big you.
I called her this morning and I said, Nan, we're so excited you were born.
Heck yeah.
Love that woman.
Heck yeah.
What's
oh, my God.
What's not to love about Nan?
Nanny.
I can't
digging
think
you.
Of a thing.
Cruising around in the
her
the
brand
Honda.
New Honda Civic.
Very nice.
Very cool.
Happy
very,
birthday.
Very
nice.
You know what she did today for lunch?
Mm.
She went out with her twin.
That's wild.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
I mean,
but strangely enough, can I share a quick story?
Sure, yeah.
Is that my mother and her twin were born on opposite sides of midnight. So they actually, though they are twins, have two different birthdays.
What?
What?
That's
so wait,
really cool.
Who is the oldest?
My aunt. So it's actually my aunt's birthday today.
Yeah.
And technically, it's my mom's birthday tomorrow. But, you know, my grandmother was very invested in the idea that she had twins because it was, of course, a lot of effort on her part.
Yeah.
Carrying them, birthing them, and raising them.
So she'd have none of that.
And so she was like, no, we're celebrating them on the same day or else.
Okay. Yeah, so, that's good. That was very wise.
Yeah, I think it was.
Because, you know,
wise.
Today they would have coddled them and said, well, we're doing a birthday weekend.
We want
and
them both to have their own space.
Right. No,
and to be able to celebrate their individuality.
She was raised in a more rugged time in America.
Like, all right, whatever.
So
no
nanny.
Safe space there.
No, what's no safe space?
No, no safe space.
No,
way.
No safe space. Uh-uh. Yeah, so happy birthday, Nan.
Yeah,
happy
Nan, big E. Yeah, very nice, yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so the post-birthday blues is what I did not experience it, but it was such a nice last several days. I took the opportunity to do some little yard work.
Which is so nice for
you. Oh, is it ever, because my yard has been a mud hole these past many, many years.
I'm really happy for you about
that. Thank you
so
much. Appreciate it.
So we missed you here, but you know, Mike and I soldiered on. Now
of course you did.
Let's not say that you're the only one, however, that was missing, because yesterday, new Mike left as well. So not that, you know, I was despondent enough without John Hall, but now new Mike has to go off and do jury duty.
Yeah, it was not fun.
How was jury duty?
It was horrible.
Was it? Why? Why was it horrible?
It was awful.
Mike, you did your civic duty.
I did do my civic duty.
God bless America.
God bless America and all that jazz. But geez Louise,
jazz.
I sat there for like hours just to get not caught in there.
That's okay.
Uh-huh. And I got drilled with questions about who my what my spouse's occupation is, what my brother's occupation is.
Did you get on the stand? Were you screened?
No. Well, I did not get on the stand.
Nobody even touched you. No. They didn't talk to you.
No.
I've done that.
Listen, yesterday morning I was here and somebody said, so how do you think new Mike's doing at jury duty? I said, oh, he's doing horribly. He's going to hate it.
Why did you think that?
Because, do you know him?
Well, my guess is
5 minutes in, he was like, really? This is what this is?
Oh, no. My guess is probably he walked out of there with five best friends.
Yeah, that's the only positive takeaway from
yesterday. See, there it is.
I made a friend that's been a season ticket Steeler holder since 1966.
Oh.
And so I drove him home because he said, I drove the bus here. I need a ride back. I said, I'll take you home gladly. It's my pleasure to.
What's his name?
His name's Russ.
Hey, Russ.
Hi, Russ.
Russ is the man. He. Mm-hmm. I asked him, I said, were you there during the Immaculate Reception? He goes, you bet I was.
Oh, yeah.
He said, it happened so fast, I just saw Franco catch the ball.
Nice.
And he said that was just one of the greatest highlights of his life.
Little slice.
But yeah, it was other than the sitting and waiting for hours upon hours for not to get called in.
Mm-hmm. I don't mind it.
He hated it.
I like jury duty. I've never once even been, you know, sort of brought up on the stand and cross-examined as the entrance.
But you're dying to do that?
Well, I'd kind of like to be part of that. Wouldn't you like to be part of that?
I mean, I've done jury duty.
Have you?
I think 4 times.
You've been on a jury?
No. Reported for jury duty. I was never chosen for a jury.
Were you ever interviewed?
I don't remember being interviewed.
I mean,
I don't think I was.
I've done it three times.
My mom, though, Nanny, whose birthday we celebrate today,
Nanny.
She's done 2 of them.
Two juries?
Two juries, yeah. My uncle's done 2 also.
What?
Yeah.
What is up with that?
Yeah, my mom did a rape trial and my uncle did a homicide trial.
What?
Yep. It's true.
So I think it's very interesting.
Yeah.
I avoid court cases at all costs because I had a bad experience when I was 9 years old.
What happened? You were on the stand. Perry Mason showed up.
Yep.
Well, tell me.
Yeah, I thought you.
It was take your child to work day, and I was nine years
old. Oh, is it your mom? She worked in the courthouse.
My mom worked in the courthouse. And she invited me. I said, yeah, I'll be happy to go.
Yeah.
So, of course, there was nothing for me to do. I was just watching her work. She goes, you know what? Why don't you go to the third floor and sit in on a court case?
Mm-hmm.
So I went upstairs.
It's a different time.
Yeah. I sat down, and to my knowledge, I thought it was going to be like a traffic citation or something. Mm-hmm. Nope. I was sitting in the middle of a murder rape case.
Oh, good.
9 years old.
Who let this kid in?
Oh, yeah.
And really? Like, nobody said, like, oh, my gosh, what is this kid doing here?
Yeah, nobody said anything.
Really?
I just walked in. I sat down, and next thing I know, the attorney's coming out with pictures of
the
scene.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, this is horrifying.
That is horrifying.
And I left.
You told me a story about your dad that you also had a horrifying experience with him as one time. That's a rough childhood you had.
With my dad?
Oh. Yeah. Was that the rabbit?
The rabbit?
Yeah, and the snake?
What?
Yeah. You saw an animal get eaten?
Oh, yeah. That was horrible. Yeah, you're right. Now,
there you go.
It was at the Lawrence County Fair.
There you go.
I mean, we went into a snake pit, and the guy came out and it wasn't a snake pit. It was a trailer full of snakes, and you go to a window. There was like 6 or 7 windows.
Oh my gosh!
Each window had a different snake.
That's atrocious.
And the owner came out and was like, "Hey, you want to see him eat?" I said,
"No." You were a kid.
My dad was like, "Yeah." So next thing I know, the owner gets a rabbit, throws it into the window, shuts the door.
The worst.
And bam! That snake crushed that rabbit, and I'm just sitting there like.
How old were you?
What has happened? I was like 6 years old.
That is so.
That explains a lot.
Those two stories
put Mike's life into focus.
You know how we always say everybody needs therapy.
Yeah.
That's why. Yeah, exactly.
Well, my parents were great parents. I had to throw them under the bus.
Well, you have to trust. You have to question their judgment on both instances, I'd say. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
New Mike's parents.
Just question their judgment.
This is wrong. Hey, coming up next, what would you regret not doing at the end of your life? We'll talk to Sheridan Boise next on The Ride Home.
WORD.
Coming up from Chuck Swindoll.
Our God is faithful and truthful, immutable and powerful. But of all these magnificent attributes, there is one that always brings me to my knees, and it is that our God is so merciful.
Even when Jonah ran away, God was merciful. Don't miss Chuck Swindoll's brand new series on Jonah, right here on Insight for Living.
Tomorrow morning at 8 on 101.5 WORD.
Jen had a very busy day today. Really busy. First, she dropped her kids off at daycare. Then she had a few minutes before yoga class for a coffee.
Small latte, please.
And then she saved a few lives.
Nurse, 2 units, O negative.
One, an injured child. Another, a cardiac patient. And then, a premature baby. All because Jen logged on to bloodsciencefoundation.org and made a financial donation.
There, done.
You see, local blood donors provide only about half of what is needed to treat patients. The other half has to be purchased and relies on financial donations from people like you and Jen.
Ooh, cake pops.
So, what have you done today? To make a financial donation that saves lives, visit bloodsciencefoundation.org. Blood Science Foundation. Giving from the heart.
Shalom. Abraham here from Rock of Ages Messianic Jewish Congregation. We were blessed to help sponsor the Word FM prayer conference last weekend. Thank you to all who stopped by our table and checked out what God is doing among His Jewish people. This Saturday, May 11th, my congregation is hosting a seminar on how to share Jesus with Jewish people. Please consider helping us as we bring Jesus back to His own people. Register or more info at rockofagesmjc.org. That's rockofagesmjc.org.
As soon as we're back out in our yard, yep, we get company.
Dandelions, lurking crabgrass, and wheat-thin grass. But Scott's Turf Builder Triple Action takes care of them all. Now, with one bag, you can kill weeds, prevent crabgrass for up to 4 months, and feed for greener grass. Triple Action, so your lawn thrives, guaranteed. Only from Scott's.
Weeds aren't welcome here.
This is a Scott's yard. Pick up a bag of Scott's Triple Action today.
Train up children in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Visit PittsburghChristianSchools.net to discover godly teachers and great classmates near you. That's PittsburghChristianSchools.net. PittsburghChristianSchools.net.
At the end of my dad's life, short life, I should say, we had a conversation. We were just talking about stuff, and I said to him at one point, what do you regret, Dad? What do you regret not having done in your life? And his answer surprised me, and I think about it often because I'm in the same boat. My dad said to me, well, one of the big things I really regret is not owning a new car.
That seems like the most random thing.
Yeah. Well, he said, you know, I always kind of miss that new car smell. My buddies always had new cars, but, you know, we had 7 kids, so there was no new car in our future.
Right.
So I think about that often. What does that mean, the idea of regret at the end of your life? Sheridan Vozey is with us. Sheridan's newest book, which we love, is called The Making of Us. Sheridan is a writer, a speaker, a broadcaster on faith and spirituality. He's been with us in the past. And Sheridan, friend, how are you, sir? Good that you're back.
Yeah, great to be back with you too, John and Kathy. Thanks for the time.
Boy, this is fascinating. Sheridan, John and I were talking about this question that you posed about what would you regret not doing by the end of your life?
Yeah.
And it's you know, at first it just seems like, oh, that's one of those questions you ask people around the, you know, lunch table and everybody. But that's not really what it is. It requires a lot more self-examination than that.
Oh, gosh. It really, really does. I tell the story in The Making of Us of a time when my friend and I were walking along and we were asking ourselves this question, like, you know, me to DJ and DJ to me. And the thing about that question is it has this capacity to just unearth all sorts of treasures if you give it time. It's kind of like a diver that searches the sea floor, and it will. The longer you give it, the more it goes deeper and deeper and deeper, and the more it's going to find those treasures on the sea floor. So, if you give that question some time, you'd be amazed at what it actually uncovers.
Hmm. So, what do you regret at the end of your life?
What would you regret not doing? Do you have something that pops to your head, John?
What do I regret?
What would you regret?
What I regret,
or maybe you've already. Maybe
that's
it's
really
some.
Key.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, we're not talking about what do we regret. So we're actually not looking at the past. We're actually looking at what would you regret not doing by the end of your life, or at least not attempting to do.
The first thing that pops to my mind is not loving deeply and more intentionally.
Hmm. In general, or you mean specific people?
Yes. Yes, those closest to me. I often think, like, I've got an aunt, my Aunt Patsy. My Aunt Patsy is like my longest, she's the last remaining survivor of the old guard. And I think about her probably daily. But do I call her? Do I go visit her? Mm-hmm. Do I bring her into my life more? Mm-hmm. No, I don't. I just kind of like, but I think about her often. I regret that right now.
Hmm.
And so when she, I think, John, don't let Patsy go. You're going to regret not seeing her.
Mm-hmm.
That scares me, but it's ridiculous that I don't follow through.
What do you say, Sheridan?
wow. I mean, you know, we've just uncovered a treasure right there. So there is something that you can actually do there.
Now, today.
That means right now, today, that means you won't regret that in the future. I mean, for listeners that are listening in, if you give this question a little bit of time, what you'll find is probably your initial questions, not so much like John's, he went really deep really quickly, but your initial questions, your initial answer to that question will probably be fairly surface level stuff, like you think about, you know, like John's dad was saying about, you know, a new car and things like that. You know, that was special to him, but there'd be more if he had more time to think about that question. And for me, when DJ asked me that question, I was, you know, thinking about the books I'd like to write, and I was thinking about the, you know, documentary projects I'd like to do, and this and that. And that's all good. Answer that. Bring those things out. But give it more time, and then you'll find it goes deeper. And almost inevitably, it'll be going to where John just went. It'll go to relationships. Who are the people in my life that I would like to make sure I don't miss out with having more time with them? What are the things that I really would like to do? And for me, it really brought up, I would like to really commit some time to some lifelong friendships. It's just so easy to get so busy in life. I really want to do that. And it also brought up for me that I would really like to position myself with both friends, but also with the public, to be a voice at people's turning points. So it kind of started to bring up for me like kind of key vocational stuff, not just simply writing a book or, you know, getting this or having a nicer house or anything like that, but no, I really want to be at people's particular turning points. So if you give it time, you'd be amazed at what it actually brings up.
Sheridan, what does it mean for you to be at people's turning points?
Yeah, that's the next question, isn't it? And that's kind of me now needing to put that into a little bit more detail. Here's what I've discovered about being a person of faith in a secular world. So my heritage is Australian. I've only been in the UK for 7 going on 8 years. And, you know, both of those countries are very secular. And right from the moment I became a Christian, I had this real passion to want to tell other people about God and about Jesus and about the good news, about how he can transform our lives, how he can transform our society. But I've really had to be trained in how to communicate that into a secular world. That's taken some years to do. I would like to be in those places, at those conferences, in those radio discussions, in those cafes when people are sitting there reading a book, for secular people, when they're asking spiritual questions that might be to do with destiny and eternity, it might just be with, like the girl I was speaking to this afternoon, who 9 relationships on, still hasn't found Mr. Right, is trying to make sense of life, is trying to make life work. Oh, gosh, I want to be there for those people in those moments when they're starting to think, is there another way of doing this? Is there another way? Could my life be at a turning point? And maybe this is an opportunity for God to step in. That's where I want to be.
That's really good. You know, it's easy to see us now. You know, this, you know, the conversations about longing or disappointment or regret, the deeper things in our lives. You know, we used to hold those, especially our parents' generation, they held them very close to the vest. And now, of course, with social media, you know, this conversation, I'm sure it's out on Facebook, it's on Twitter on a regular basis. We sort of peel back the layers of intimacy quickly. So we're able to shortcut if we're aware or in tune enough to those people around us, don't you think?
Yeah, yeah. Look, I tell you, people are hungering for God without realizing it. Just last week, I was invited to be a speaker at a conference. It was a really unique conference. I bet you've never heard of this before. It was a conference that brought together artists and filmmakers and dancers and choreographers with researchers into infertility.
What?
Now, how
what?
Unique is that? Is that unique?
That sure is. That's it's a very so specific unique. Bandwidth.
Yeah, it really is. And I tell you, it was out there. I mean, I was That's sharing cool. the stage with, you know, a self-described polyamorous woman who was leading a mission of people who had decided they were not going to become parents as a protest against world's governments because of their lack of action on climate change and because of the impending climate apocalypse that's about
really?
To happen. So, you know, it was way out there.
Wow.
But I got to be a Christian voice on that stage.
Cool.
Now, afterwards, a whole bunch of people for whom parenthood may not be on the horizon, and they are now desperately saying, what is my life going to be if I'm not going to be a mum or a dad? And that's why I had people in tears coming up to me afterwards. And I was able to talk to them about there is something bigger than this. Mm. You are bigger than just being a parent or being a wife or a husband.
Mm-hmm.
That was just so important. People are hungering. They just don't quite know it yet.
Right. And Sheridan, I think you've hit on something that is beyond our control. I think these are the things that the Holy Spirit engineers in life, is that our weaknesses and our struggles are the things that we can speak into with a kind of authority and a kind of compassion that you can't do when you haven't been through something. So that woman or man, whoever it was, who came up to talk to you at that point, got a different response from you than she would have gotten from me, because that's a road that you've already traveled.
Yes, yeah, indeed. And this is the amazing thing. I mean, the Apostle Paul said a lot of wonderful things in the New Testament, and many of us have memorized many of those things. But there's a little verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I think it is, where Paul says something I don't think any of us have memorized. He talks about the hardship that he and other apostles have faced, and he says, death was at work in us, but life was at work in you.
Mm.
And, you know, that's become a real favorite verse of mine, because it actually suggests that, you know, in those moments where we've really, really faced some difficult things, they can actually become these kind of gaps, these channels through which God's grace wants to flow out through us to other people. Death was at work in us, but as a result of that, life was at work in you. And that's kind of a wonderful redemptive attitude. Any kind of death that you've been through, loss of a dream, even the death of a marriage, those kinds of things, if you hand it up to God, it can become a wonderfully redemptive tool to reach other people.
Mm-hmm.
Because exactly right, Kathy, you actually come with a brand new depth of credibility, and that's when you can actually say, you know, we've been there, and here is something that has really, really helped, and I hope it helps you too.
Sheridan Voisey is with us. His brand new work is called The Making of Us. We're talking about regret. What would you regret not doing by the end of your life?
But it's not really even a question about regret. I think to me, at least Sheridan, to me, when I think about the question, it's more a question of trying to get at what really matters to us when what really matters to us is hidden by our busyness or our, you know, stupid, you know, habits of, you know, streaming video or, you know, hanging out on Instagram too much. You know, whatever it is, we hide from the things that are really important to us without us really thinking about what they are.
But my dad regretting not owning a new car. Now, my dad had 7 kids. So, I mean, that was his decision. Him and my mom decided we're going to have 7 kids. So the prospect of a family was important to him.
Mm-hmm.
The regret was minor by what he received in return.
Well, yeah, but that tells you something too.
Exactly.
Right? I think about what I would regret, and it's a very clarifying question, because there are a couple people that sprang to mind, and I thought, you know what, if I died tomorrow, I would regret the fact that I didn't have the conversations with them I should have had.
Uh-huh. So always a lot of it, right, generally goes back into the same vein, which is the relationship.
Funny that, isn't it? You know, and what did Jesus say? What is life all about? Loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving others as ourselves. And so it almost always goes back to that. Is there somebody in my life that I need to reconcile with or have those particular conversations with, or just show more love to, or, John, like you and your aunt, you know, just have more time with? Are there people I'm going to miss that I really want to have that time with now?
Right.
Are there people that I want to ask particular questions of, that I want to learn from? Now, sometimes it can be other things. I remember asking this question of a bunch of people in retreat, and one guy came to me afterwards, and he said, I really think that I need to write my memoirs for the sake of my family and for my children, just to know their heritage. And that was a wonderful, wonderful answer, and it's going to be passed down to other people. So, yeah, it really, but it almost always comes back to relationship of some kind.
Yes. Okay, so Sharon, my birthday was on Saturday, and you know, one of the singular best thing about Facebook is that on your birthday, all of your friends, you know, all of your contacts or whoever's ever on your list, however you have shaped that, they step out. And so I'm reading all these birthday wishes and thinking, I love that guy. Oh, remember that time we did that with that, and blah, blah, blah. And when we were a young married couple, we were young newlyweds, my wife and I regularly had dinner parties where we would invite 15 people around our, you know, dining room table. Now, it's been a long time since we've done that. Life takes, you know, takes shape.
Yeah.
But Facebook in some ways is that dinner party if you were so inclined. And it goes back to the nature of relationships. All those people that we are blessed to have in different seasons of our lives coalesce under one page wishing you the absolute best. I mean, to me, that's the fruit, the essence, the beauty of life, that you see those relationships and you want those again and again and again, but life takes over.
Yeah, yeah, beautifully put. And you know what, that's what, I mean, it's kind of nice that we've actually talked about the positive side of social media, because we so often think about the negative side, and there are negative sides, but that's the beautiful side, isn't it? It really can allow you to have those kind of trickle relationships, you know, just little bits of information here and there, just keeps you connected over distance and over time, and it can keep relationships kind of warm, so that when you're next in the same city, or when your next diary, you know, does allow for it, you can actually kind of connect in. But you're absolutely right. It's a wonderful time when you have those moments and you can feel those people come back from your life. And I think that's what I've seen with something like Facebook, is that, you know, people that maybe I connected with 10, 15 years ago, we still have that little connection. It's just through Facebook, but it means that something else can be rekindled in the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sharon, in our remaining minute or minute and a half, tell us about The Making of Us.
Well, The Making of Us really is all about who you can become when life doesn't go as planned. And it's kind of really a bunch of these kinds of conversations, really. A friend and I walking between Lindisfarne Island in the north of England to Durham, 8 days, 116 miles, asking questions of each other like this, thinking about maybe if things have gone wrong, if life hasn't worked out quite as we wanted it to, and as a result we don't have the identity, just like those people I was talking to and talking with at that conference, when you're not going to be called mother, or you're not going to be called father, or maybe you're no longer a wife or a husband or whatever. Well, who are you now and who can you become? That's really what the book is about. And ultimately, I'll say that I think it's in those moments that actually it's God's ripe time for us to really discover a bigger sense of self, that we are children of God, and that's the most important thing. And then we are also still sons and brothers and sisters, and we are friends, an important identity in itself. And that if we were to bring all these broken bits to the Lord, we can see that maybe he can turn this into the greatest contribution that we've ever given out of our lives for the sake of other people.
Excellent.
That's really what The Making of Us is about.
Very good. The Making of Us, Sheridan Voisey. Well, Sheridan, no regrets on this conversation. Thanks so much for being with us, for connecting with us.
Love talking to you guys. Love it.
Our pleasure. Sheridan Voisey, writer,
what
speaker, broadcaster.
What about if I said I regret not visiting Sheridan in England?
Yeah. Well, Sheridan's
he's still on the line.
He's
probably still listening to
that. Can make
that
happen,
but,
right?
You know, because I always wanted to go to Oxford.
Right.
Believe me.
I'd like to go to Australia. We could do
but
a 2-for-1.
But he's not in Australia.
Someday maybe we'll go there.
Jen had a very busy day today. Really busy. First, she dropped her kids off at daycare.
Bye, Mom.
Then she had a few minutes before yoga class for a coffee.
Small latte, please.
And then she saved a few lives.
Nurse, 2 units, O negative.
One, an injured child. Another, a cardiac patient. And then, a premature baby. All because Jen logged on to bloodsciencefoundation.org and made a financial donation.
There, done.
You see, local blood donors provide only about half of what is needed to treat patients. The other half has to be purchased and relies on financial donations from people like you and Jen.
Ooh, cake pops.
So, what have you done today? To make a financial donation that saves lives, visit bloodsciencefoundation.org. Blood Science Foundation,
giving from the heart.
At Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, find extreme accessories for all your dirty jobs, like hauling landscape supplies. Protect your vehicle with spray on bed liners, tonneau covers, WeatherTech floor liners, and more. Say goodbye to dirt and grime inside and out with extreme detailing. Plus, lift kits, electronics, and remote starters. Always a favorite. Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville. For the extreme in all of us. At extremetruck.net.
When wet weather is on the way, keep it dry inside with J&D Waterproofing. Water seepage and a sinking foundation can cause major structural damage if left untreated. Joe Belanti and the team at J&D Waterproofing have the experience to correct your water problem with over 72 years in the industry. Call the Tri-State's premier waterproofing company now at 1-800-VERY-DRY for a free estimate and big savings on all waterproofing services for a limited time. J&D Waterproofing, 1-800-VERY-DRY.
Hi, this is Tutch Elkin. Join me and head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike Tomlin, Steelers players Vance McDonald and Stephon Tuitt, and pastors Brian Loritz and Ed Glover for Man Up Pittsburgh on Saturday, June 8th at Victory Family Church in Cranberry. Man Up is a day for all men to work on becoming the best godly leaders they can be. There'll be free food, fellowship, worship, powerful messages, and dynamic breakout sessions. From high schoolers to grandfathers, this is for you. Register today at manuppittsburgh.org. Hosted by Urban Impact and brought to you locally by Chick-fil-A of Pittsburgh.
Indeed, used by over 3 million businesses for hiring, where business owners and HR professionals can post job openings with screener questions, then sort, review, and communicate with candidates from an online dashboard. Learn more at Indeed.com/hire.
As we start 2019, we so much appreciate the support of one of our newest clients, Grove City College. So thanks to everyone at GCC. John and I and everyone here at the Ride Home are grateful for your partnership.
A couple of thunderstorms will cross the area this evening, and any thunderstorm could produce some localized flash flooding and damaging winds. The rest of tonight, cloudy and mild with occasional rain and another thunderstorm, low 62. Rather cloudy and not as warm tomorrow with a couple of showers, high 71, the low tomorrow night 43. Even cooler still Saturday with clouds and sun, high 63. With your AccuWeather weather forecast, I'm meteorologist Danielle Niddle.
March 28th, Three Mile Island, a partial meltdown of reactor number 2. News now, though, that Three Mile Island is moving on.
Yep. News in the Tribune Review yesterday, the owner of Three Mile Island, site of the U.S.'s worst commercial nuclear power accident, says it now appears certain it will not get a financial rescue from Pennsylvania, and it will go ahead with a planned shutdown starting June 1.
Huh.
Exelon Corp's Wednesday statement comes 2 years after the Chicago-based energy giant said it would close the money-losing plant without what critics have called a bailout. It is licensed to operate through 2034, but of course does not have the cash to do so.
Money-losing.
Yeah, it faces a particularly difficult situation because of the 1979 accident left it with just one reactor.
I see.
So it doesn't have the capacity that it did
to generate
one time.
Enough power to make it worthwhile.
Yeah.
And they probably kept it open, probably in hoping that it would turn around and I would think for the nuclear industry, which is all but absent from the United States since Three Mile Island, has disappeared. So that nuclear future is gone.
Yeah, because they said that the natural gas industry has really taken the attention away.
Yeah, how can you compete with that? I mean, natural gas is cheap and plentiful, so nuclear energy, forget about it.
Remember where you were when Three Mile Island happened?
I was in college. Mm-hmm. But what I remember is this was one of those, you know, big, gigantic news stories of a different generation that dominated for a long time, thinking that, you know, which way the wind is blowing might, you know, some sort of fallout come our way into the Pittsburgh, Western Pennsylvania region.
I remember feeling that way, too.
You know, anxious.
Yeah. I think I shared before a couple weeks ago, I'm not sure what we were talking about, but my dad had taken my mom and I to see the China Syndrome.
Oh, my gosh.
The Jane Fonda, Jack Lemmon movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Michael Douglas, I think, was in it, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it
had just seen it. We had just seen it. I don't know what the time span was, but it was freakish.
Yeah, yeah. Very similar.
Freakish. And if you saw the China Syndrome, it didn't end up well.
No,
so
it sure
I remember
didn't.
Being very scared when this happened.
All the
now, my husband's
going
from
off.
Lancaster, so which is, you know, what, 20 miles away. And he said that when it happened, they all had... hide under their desks, which was definitely going to help.
That'll fix it.
Because there's a lot of bacteria on top of a kid's desk. It'll just get rid of that radiation, right? What the heck? All right, well, it's farewell. So when's that going to happen? This summer?
Well, June 1, is, okay. unless they get a reprieve from the state government.
I don't think anybody's going to go to bat for that.
But I want to know if anyone's watching the HBO miniseries Chernobyl, which premiered on May 6th.
HBO?
Yeah.
It's one of those things I don't subscribe to.
Me neither.
101.5 WORD.
In many parts of the world, China, Africa, India, Southeast Asia, people have never heard the name of Jesus. Even if they have, many lack the resources to learn about it. Word FM has teamed with the Bible League to send God's Word to the world. $5 will send a Bible now. $100 will send 20. Give now at wordfm.com, keyword Bibles, or call 1-800-YES-WORD.
We're here at creditrepair.com, the most recognized name in the industry when it comes to resolving credit report issues and getting that credit score up. With me, I got Aaron. Aaron, what happens when people call creditrepair.com?
A lot. Just one call gets any listener a free credit score, free credit report, and a free personalized credit evaluation right over the phone. In just a few minutes, you'll know exactly what's hurting your credit and get a personalized game plan to help restore it.
And that can make a huge difference when it comes to getting those things that we want, like a new car, a new house, or even a brand new job.
Absolutely. Your credit score is one of the first things lenders look at, and our proven process can help remove those unfair or inaccurate items, like late payments and collections from your credit report. In fact, on average, people who have used our service have seen significant improvement in their credit scores month after month.
What are you waiting for? Call creditrepair.com today. Call 800-851-5318. That's 800-851-5318. 800-851-5318.
Do you dream of owning your own home? Dollar Bank's free Mortgages for Mothers workshop can show you how to break the rent cycle. You'll learn the right way to home ownership with a plan to strengthen your savings and create less debt. You can even get help with restoring bad credit.
Join Lynn Hayes Freeland and Dollar Bank at the free Mortgages for Mothers Home Buying Workshop, Saturday, May 11th at 9 a.m. at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center. Child care will be available. To register, visit mortgagesformothers.com today. Dollar Bank, Equal Housing Lender.
Creation Fest 2019 is coming.
Join us with your family and friends for a weekend of worship like no other.
Over 70 artists like Skillet, Hillsong Worship, Crowder, Elevation Worship, Carrie Job, 10th Avenue North, and Mendisa, as well as over 15 speakers like Bob Liggs, Reggie Dabbs, and David Nasser. Be a part of the Creation Worship Experience in the beautiful mountains of central Pennsylvania. Go to creationfest.com to find out more. That's creationfest.com.
Shalom. Abraham here from Rock of Ages Messianic Jewish Congregation. We were blessed to help sponsor the Word FM prayer conference last weekend. Thank you to all who stopped by our table and checked out what God is doing among His Jewish people. This Saturday, May 11th, my congregation is hosting a seminar on how to share Jesus with Jewish people. Please consider helping us as we bring Jesus back to His own people. Register or more info at rockofagesmjc.org. That's rockofagesmjc.org.
How do you talk about faith, especially to your kids?
Well, badly.
Badly. Even to your kids? I don't think you speak badly about faith.
Well, I'm just saying that speaking of faith well is very, very hard.
It is.
So I feel like I talk about faith a lot with my kids, but I mean, doing it well is a real challenge.
Yeah, it is. Because you've got to bring it down to its, you know, most basic level, right? Mm-hmm. But still show the power and the necessity of it. How does that work? Amy Julia Becker is with us. Amy's a regular guest on our show. She is the author of several excellent books, a graduate of Princeton University, Princeton Theological Seminary. Her essays about faith, family, disability have appeared in leading publications across the country. She says in this piece, how to talk to your children about faith, part one. Amy, we're glad there's more parts because we need to hear this conversation. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. Always good.
All right, Amy Julia. Now, you've been to seminary. You went to Princeton. You're a writer.
You got this down.
You're a reader. Clearly, you must do this well on a daily basis.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. The only thing I think I can say, and I wouldn't even use the word daily, is that at least having been to seminary and being a writer and a big talker and communicator means that we do talk about faith in our household. Not always well, not always easily, but that's in part what I'm trying to write about is the fact that we can do a good job of communicating questions and answers about faith with our kids if we admit that we're doing it badly, because that's part of the deal.
Right. So you write about this, and this is true. I mean, Jesus calls his disciples little ones, right? Those are our kids. So the audience is exactly right in front of you.
Yeah, and I think what's so interesting to me is I did a look in the Gospels to see when Jesus is using the word children. And sometimes he's talking about actual children, but oftentimes he's talking about actual adults. I mean, his literal, you know, whatever they were, 25-year-old disciples, these kind of burly men, he's calling them little children. And he over and over and over again says, call God your father. And he really wants us to understand ourselves as children before God. And I think certainly that some of that is like we need to understand our dependence upon God, and we need to understand ourselves as not having it all together. But some of it is just that we have a lot of freedom to make mistakes, mm-hmm. because God is going to be a loving Father who knows us primarily in that way. And so that really should give us a lot of freedom, just as good parents, at least, will give their kids a lot of freedom to make mistakes, too.
So that kind of takes the responsibility of getting all of the right answers communicated to our kids away from us, because it's not really about transmitting all the right answers.
I think that is so true. Actually, you mentioned this blog post is part one. Part two is talking about the way Jesus communicates with his followers. And what I was fascinated, I happened to read that Jesus asked hundreds of questions and was asked hundreds of questions, and he only gave direct answers, depending on how you count it, 3 to 5 times. So, you know, he's asked 183 questions, he answers it directly 3 times. And that's not to say he didn't have the answers, but that the answers were not so much the point as the relationship, the conversation, that sense of an ongoing, you know, he was just always accessible for an ongoing dialogue about faith and for ongoing relationship in terms of watch what I'm doing, come with me while I'm praying, see that I'm healing someone, you know. So there's, I think, a great invitation to us also to be in an ongoing conversation with our children about our, you know, sin and our mistakes, as well as the ways in which we are grateful and praising God, the things that we're confused about or asking about, or asking God for. So I think that opens up a lot of possibilities.
Oh, that's good. So it's ongoing. It involves a lot of different notes and tones and colors. But Amy Julia, this is true, I think, of a lot of people. There are times, well, not times, there are many times that we sit down and try to be intentional with Bible study with our family. Every time we've done this, it's been a complete and total failure. So much so that, you know, my wife would, mm-hmm. we would disagree. Mm-hmm. Then we would have an argument. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, it's chaos. It's a mess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did try to have what I called family devotions when our kids were very little, which more often than not did either involve, you know, someone yelling at someone else or someone, you know, banging an instrument because we tried to have some music as a part of it and making sure that no one else could hear anything. And it more often than not ended in tears. And I will say what we have found, we've actually very sporadically but been reading through Luke from the Message version of the Bible, Eugene Peterson's Message. And our kids have liked that better than anything else we've tried to do. And they're now 13, 10, and 8, so a little bit older. And again, that's maybe once a week that we'll do that. And I will simply at the end of it say, did anything stand out to you? And they'll usually say something, and we'll just, but trying to really take their lead on that. And then also just believing that as they watch me, as they see that I read the Bible or that their father reads the Bible, or as we sometimes will say to them, guys, would you like to pray about that, or sing songs, as we're modeling faith, I think that is so much, I mean, it's the same thing. Kids, if they see their parents reading a magazine or a novel, that is the highest predictor of whether they will be readers as adults, mm-hmm. is just watching their parents do it. And right. I think the same is true with these practices of spiritual habits and faith modeled out. I think that is even more important than, you know, a formal religious time as a family. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously going to church together is wonderful, and I'm not saying we shouldn't be reading the Bible together, but it does so often end in fights or boredom or whatever, and what we want to be opening up is conversation and questions and a sincere expression of faith with one another and before God.
Mm-hmm. So it's a risk talking about faith, no matter who you do it with, no matter how certain you are of your people, is that you're going to disagree. I mean, I think about this all the time. My daughter was home from college over the weekend, and so the four of us had a long car trip, and so we were talking about something. I don't remember even what it was. And I realized, you know, within the first 8 seconds that the four of us are going to have very different viewpoints on this issue. Mm. Now, we're all Christians. We're all believers. We're all, you know, dynamic believers, you know, people who really believe in the Holy Spirit living and working in the world and in our life. But we see things differently. So whenever you bring anything up, a risk is something you just have to accept going into it.
And I think if we go into it with a posture of receptivity, believing certainly that we have something to offer to the conversation, but also that we're not a closed book, like that it's not like I have it all figured out and the rest of you do not. So let me teach you, as opposed to let's assume that because exactly what you just said, we are all created in the image of God, we are all wanting the Spirit to be at work in our lives, and we're wanting to understand, let's assume therefore that putting us together is going to actually help us all grow. And this is true even with your children, you know, even when you are kind of in a position of authority, they still can be teaching you and helping you see things differently if you're open to that. And I think that posture of receptivity, again, goes back to Jesus even being willing to, like, ask questions and answer questions. There's a sense of receptivity, even though he obviously had more knowledge than anybody else who he was talking to, he still went into those in a very relational, those conversations in a very relational way. And I think that's a model for us and an assumption that we have something to gain from actually talking with our kids, not just something to give.
Very nice. Amy, there's a lot of wisdom there. Thanks so much for being with us. Amy Julia Becker, she's got a terrific blog where she often posts on a regular basis. Her latest book is called White Picket Fences, Turning Toward Love in a World Divided by Privilege. Amy Julia Becker. Take a break. Come back. We got lots more ahead. We're just getting started here. Hour one to the Ride Home with John and Kathy here on Word FM and WPIT Radio.
All right, welcome to F-150 Radio. Call from Georgia. Chad, what's shaking in Macon?
I know the F-150 kicks butt and takes names.
Like how the high-strength, military-grade aluminum alloy F-150 thrashes the competition with best-in-class towing and torque.
Mm-hmm, not surprised. Totally saw that coming.
Chad, how do you know so much about F-150 beating the competition?
I drive the competition. Got a 10-year lease.
Kind of embarrassing, huh?
Maybe I shouldn't advertise that fact on a national talk radio show.
Good call. The Ford F-150, it doesn't just raise the bar. It is the bar.
Best-in-class claims with properly configured vehicles. Classes full-size pickups under 8,500 pounds GVWR based on Ford segmentation.
Now get a 2019 F-150 with 0% financing for 72 months. Only at your Ford dealer. Not all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. 0% APR financing for 72 months at $1,389 per month for 1,000 finance regardless of down payment. Program number 21038 on 2019 Ford F-150. Not available on Raptor. Residency restrictions apply. Take new retail delivery from an authorized Ford dealer stock by 5/31/19. See dealer for qualifications and complete details.
How does Eden Christian Academy prepare students for success? Through education that ignites the mind and inspires the spirit, from pre-K through 12th grade, through 47 state-certified full-time teachers, and opportunities in sports, the arts, and service to the community, with results like SAT scores 200 points over the national average. Schedule a tour at any of Eden's three North Hills campuses and see what the area's largest non-denominational Christian school has to offer at EdenChristianAcademy.org.
It's where the Sahara meets the Nile and the Mediterranean Sea. Only here exist the perfect conditions for growing the finest cotton in the world. I'm John Hall. Nowhere else can you find cotton so luxuriously soft and light, yet super strong and able to hold deep, vibrant colors wash after wash. It's this very cotton Mike Lindell has used to create my pillows, Giza Dreams bedsheets. Try them once and you'll never want to sleep on anything else again. And right now, get a special 30% off MyPillow Dream Sheets with free shipping. Use promo code WORD when you call 800-391-0954 or place your order at MyPillow.com. 60-day money-back guarantee if you're not completely satisfied. Call 800-391-0954 or visit MyPillow.com and be sure to use promo code WORD for 30% off plus free shipping. Sweet dreams from MyPillow.
Things would happen in church that you weren't allowed to laugh.
Word FM presents
Funny Things Were Happening, and we had to pretend like it wasn't happening.
Ladies Night Out with writer, comedian, and playwright Sherry Lynn.
My sister got up and she mimed to a Yolanda Adams song, and it was beautiful.
It's a night out for the girls.
As she was miming and she was twirling, her wig came off.
June 21st at the Bible Chapel.
I have not seen the type of power or anointing that could make us forget your hair is on the floor.
Get early bird admission now through May 31st at wordfm.com.
Word FM welcomes Mercy Me with special guest Crowder to the PPG Paints Arena on October 4th, and tickets have just gone on sale. But hey, we've got great news for you, because we've got two tickets for you right now.
Right now.
Two tickets for you.
A pair.
Right now to see Mercy Me and Crowder at the PPG Paints Arena October 4th. If you give us a call at 800-320-8255. 1-800-320-8255. John, what caller number are we looking for?
Caller number 29. Caller 29 at 800-320-8255.
All right.
Listen, I love Mercy Me, but I really like David Crowder.
Oh, my gosh. I love David Crowder. I like them both. I really do. That's going to be a really good concert.
But, you know, I don't want to hear that October 29th.
You and I are hosting that concert.
Oh, we are?
Mm-hmm.
See, October...
We'll be the opening act.
Great. I don't want to even think about October.
Oh, you'll be thinking about it. You'll be thinking about it if you get free tickets,
all of a sudden, you know, I got spice latte and, you know, plaid and it's... fall and summer's gone by.
All of a sudden, I'm picking out my Halloween costume.
I don't want to do that.
You want to pick out your Halloween costume early?
No, I just pulled.
You went as nothing last year.
I did.
The year before, you went as Martin Luther's wife, Katerina.
Right.
First Lady of the Reformation.
Actually, you know, I got a little...
That was a creepy outfit.
Confession on online confession to make, or an on-air confession. I do have a little costume in my office. I did bring something.
And you didn't wear it?
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, it's in my office. Yeah.
Shame on you.
No, because you two, like, you know, were like so invested into shaming me. I thought, well, I'm just going to take the shame.
Oh, listen.
I just did.
Listen, you just felt a little like morally superior
to us.
Well,
no, I just thought, well, it's more fun for me to like be shamed than to just sort of go along with the program.
I was a bumblebee.
Yeah, I got something in there.
Do you?
It's in one of those.
Well, at least now you don't have to think about it until October. What if it's like moldy?
No, it's fine. I saw it. I looked at it because I was.
Well, you pull it out weekly to like. Dust for mites or something?
I was putting something away in one of the big drawers, and I was like, oh, there's that that old Halloween thing. So, yeah. Anyway.
Well, okay. I'm glad you were able to tell us.
Hey, do we have a winner, Mike? Do we have a caller number 29? We good? Caller number 20? No, we do.
We just got one.
He's all sweaty. His fingers sore.
Just 29. Okay. Thumbs are up.
Other men have worked in mills. Mike's efforting the phones.
We're giving away another pair of tickets at 5:50. So stay with us for the second hour.
For Crowder, Mercy Me.
Okay. Hey, listen. Today is National Lost Sock Memorial Day.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
don't get me started.
Sing me a sad song.
How many pairs of socks are no longer a pair?
Listen, I have done something to alleviate this.
What?
That I just want everyone to do.
What do you do?
Because I don't want you to suffer. You safety pin your socks together before you put them
in
the laundry.
I'm not doing that.
Why not?
I thought you were going to say you were going to put them all of your socks like in one little mesh bag.
I do that. I do that too, but I put
Why? You got like a fail-safe method?
Yeah, I do both.
Then you never lose any socks.
That's why you do it.
So you say, I must have, no exaggeration, 10 single socks.
See?
10
Why won't you just safety pin your socks?
Because I'm not going to do that, Kath. I mean, seriously. All of a sudden, it's like hints from Heloise. I'm not doing that.
I'm trying to save you today being National Lost Sock Memorial Day.
I'm a guy doing my laundry. I don't have time to, you know.
Oh, it takes such a long time. That's
Who's doing that? Four seconds
to reach and grab a safety pin. Everyone in my family does it. And if they don't do it, they suffer my wrath.
Your poor husband. He's got to stand there and do a safety pin. Next time I see him, I'm going to bring that up. I feel bad for the guy.
Well, I got to be honest. This is what's going on. Is our washing machine spins at some rate that is like faster than light.
Nice.
So oftentimes you will pin your socks together.
And they come undone.
And they come undone.
And then the pin goes somewhere in the machine and breaks the machine.
I hate that.
Does it break the machine? It
doesn't break the machine, but it falls off, and then you don't have your socks connected, which is the whole problem, and the whole reason you pinned them in the first place. So this is why I've taken to pinning my socks and then placing them in a garment bag.
Well, you don't need to do that if you're just going to put them in a garment bag.
Well, you don't, but it's just easier because you always have them together. So you put them in the drawer, and they're pinned, and you don't have to sort through and try to find
matches. It's like the National Safety Council, all these backups to backups to backups.
Today is National Lost Sock Memorial Day. You would never have to observe this holiday again if you just pinned.
Yeah.
Just pin. What about if I got you the safety pins? What if I went out and got you 25 nice safety pins?
I have safety pins at home, and I appreciate the offer and everything. No, I'm not going to do
it. Everyone in my family has a little, like, jar in their room for their safety pins.
Does everybody in your family do their own laundry?
Yes.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, so if they're not pinning their own socks, it's on them.
But boy,
they want to be said.
I've got like several pairs of socks that I go, I really like that pair. That was like, you know, a fun color or a different pattern. And now what happens? I know this is a small problem considering where the state the world is in.
It is. But it's a problem that you could alleviate if you would just pin.
Summer's here. No socks.
Oh, gosh.
Very nice. I'm wearing sandals.
Please don't tell me you're wearing... You have socks on under there, right?
No.
Come on, John.
Sandals.
We told you about...
Changes the world. 101.5 WORD-FM, Pittsburgh, a service of Salem Media Group.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. A day after Judiciary Committee Democrats voted to hold the Attorney General in contempt of Congress, Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy is going after the Democratic chairman.
In an unusually personal attack, McCarthy lashing out at Jerry Nadler's leadership.
Question continues to be raised that Nadler can't even handle the gavel.
McCarthy even questioning Nadler's knowledge of committee rules.
If I was in a position that I was in charge of their conference, I would make sure to bring Chairman Nadler in and meet with a parliamentarian. You do not treat... And you do not have that lack of knowledge to have the hold the gavel.
Meanwhile, the speaker denying the nation is facing a constitutional crisis, adding that the only crisis facing the country is the House Democratic majority.
Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines reporting. President Trump on Thursday said he will nominate Patrick Shanahan to be his second Secretary of Defense. This is SRN News.
The Ride Home with John and Kathy, driven by Calusi Chevrolet. Serving the Pittsburgh area for over 100 years.
I started out in public education, and I've been in education for almost 40 years now.
Jubilee Christian School Principal April Eisman.
Education is what I knew, and that was my passion. I loved it. But to see the need in society for even more than what we're doing in the churches, because if your children are involved in the church, they're still never more involved than a few hours a week. I want to give students more grounding, give them more of a spiritual foundation. I want to make a difference.
Jubilee Christian School Mount Lebanon, K through 6th grade. Imagine, believe, achieve. At JubileeCS.org.
At Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, find extreme accessories for all your dirty jobs, like hauling landscape supplies. Protect your vehicle with spray-on bed liners, tonneau covers, WeatherTech floor liners, and more. Say goodbye to dirt and grime inside and out with extreme detailing. Plus, lift kits, electronics, and remote starters, always a favorite. Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, for the extreme in all of us. At extremetruck.net.
This is Chris Abernethy of Abernethy and Hagerman. You don't want the government deciding what happens to your estate or how much they will take. At Abernethy and Hagerman, estate administration is the heart and soul of our practice. We have the experience to help not only plan, but administer your estate properly, to protect your assets, minimize taxes, and ensure that your inheritance gets to the ones you love. Decide for yourself. Abernethy and Hagerman. Legal help that lasts a lifetime. Visit a-h.law.
Here is your new Pella Lifestyle window when open.
Here it is. Closed. The new Pella Lifestyle series is the number one performing wood window and patio door for sound control, energy efficiency, and value. Keep the outside noise outside. More peace and better rest for your family. Exceptional noise control for a quieter home. For a limited time, get 50% off installation and 12 months no payments, no interest. Call 888-77-PELLA, PellaPittsburgh.com.
Pain or no pain, your wisdom teeth should be checked every year. If wisdom teeth come in properly and meet the right conditions, they are generally safe to keep. But left unchecked, they can put you at risk for gum disease, tooth decay, and damage to adjacent teeth. Some wisdom teeth grow in at such an angle that they never break through the gum, which can lead to tooth decay, gum disease, cysts, and tumors. These impacted teeth can only be seen on x-rays, so the damage they may cause can go undetected if they are not checked by a dental professional. Some people just don't have enough room for another tooth in their mouth, so their wisdom teeth can affect adjacent teeth when they come in. This can make it difficult to chew, difficult to keep them all clean, and misalign your teeth. Not all wisdom teeth need to be removed, but they all do need to be monitored by an oral and maxillofacial surgeon. Find a surgeon near you for a complete examination. If your wisdom teeth do need to be removed, the procedure can be done in an office setting with minimal postoperative pain and swelling. Remember, pain or no pain, your wisdom teeth should be checked every year. Find your local oral and maxillofacial surgeon at myoms.org.
A couple of thunderstorms will cross the area this evening, and any thunderstorm could produce some localized flash flooding and damaging winds. The rest of tonight, cloudy and mild with occasional rain and another thunderstorm, low 62. Rather cloudy and not as warm tomorrow with a couple of showers, high 71, the low tomorrow night 43. Even cooler still Saturday with clouds and sun, high 63. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Danielle Niddle.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem-Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmon.
Good afternoon. Greetings. Thanks for coming along today.
Hey, look who's returned.
Yeah.
It's like the swallows and we're Capistrano.
Very nice. It's Thursday. I figured I'd better check in.
The prodigal co-host.
Yeah.
Or host, I should say.
I come back.
The prodigal host.
I've got blew that inheritance Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm back. What do you got now? Because Johnny needs to eat.
He even shaved his beard.
Yeah, you shaved your beard.
I shaved my beard.
Tell us about that decision.
Well, you know, the beard's always a temporary thing. I've never, like, there's never been, like, an emotional commitment to the hair on my face.
Cool.
Hi, I'm John Hall. Rule number three, don't get emotionally connected to your beard. Just saying.
No, was it like you got up and thought, I'm shaving it off?
No.
You decide on this certain day in May I'm going to shave it off anyway?
No. Like last week I was like, hey, I'm sick of this thing. I'm just tired of it all. So then when I had a few days off, you know, like, oh, I'll go up there. So I shaved it off.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, one of the pleasures is I walked around for a little bit with a goatee on.
Mm-hmm.
And then for a day or more, I walked around as a complete and total goofball with a mustache.
There's photographic evidence. Have you seen the photographs,
no,
Mike?
No, I want to see them.
They are atrocious. It's a nightmare.
So we got one kid still living at home. I walked into his, you know, hey, how you doing? He saw me. He was like, oh, my gosh. And he refused to look at me the rest of the day. I went to the pirate game with him. Mm-hmm. He would look at me out of the corner of his eye, and I would see a guy with a mustache. And I go, there's a fellow brother with a mustache.
Do you try out the handlebars?
No, I didn't. No, I kept it pretty straight down.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks
good.
It doesn't.
I almost
look. I just got to tell you.
He didn't think so.
No, it looks like you are.
I had to laugh.
You're you're walking on the gangplank, into the Love Boat.
It looks really ridiculous.
Exciting.
I got to see this.
Yeah. Anyway, the beard's gone and happy to see it go. There we go. Very nice.
Oh my gosh, you look it.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Don't encourage that.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
That is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. He looks like someone else's neighbor.
A creeper.
Yeah. Look at
this. Okay. That's just wrong.
We post it. Can I post this on Facebook?
If you're willing to do it,
yes.
I'm not going to stop.
You think I care?
I'm just saying.
Bring it on. Okay?
Just saying.
Yeah.
All right, find us on tweet him out.
Tweet out. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Tweet my mustache.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm sure it's a hashtag.
I'm sure people love that.
Right. Tweet your mustache.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing else going on in my life. I got to look at some guy's mustache.
Right.
Okay. Hey, when we were kids, there was no such thing as, you know, school lunches.
Oh, is that right?
No such thing.
There was no school cafeteria?
No. We ate at our desks. Then later on in high school, you were released. You could either eat in the auditorium or go to the Village Dairy. So, you know, I could look back at my childhood and go, from this period to this period, I was heavily invested in egg salad sandwiches, which was, you know, a staple. For this period to this period, I had peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, which I always liked the peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I had one for dinner last night.
You did. I mean, so here's the deal. In Rhode Island students, you're part of the public school system in Rhode Island, and you owe lunch money on your hot lunch program. now you're being banished from the hot lunch program, and you will receive cold butter and jelly sandwiches. The policy will go into effect May 13th. They mandate, Rhode Island does, that all public schools provide lunches for students, but 70% of the lunches are provided for free or reduced prices.
So it's the 30% that aren't paying.
Right, the 30%. So now you've been banished to a butter and jelly sandwich. You know what they're worried about?
What?
This will get you. Bullying. So if you're walking down the hall and you're holding a jelly sandwich, they're afraid the students are going to get bullied.
And, because of their sandwich.
Right. And apparently people have stepped forward and said, we know that we can. That people owe some cash. Let me pick up that tab. The Rhode Island School District is saying, no, no, no. We're not taking your money. A restaurateur said, I got $4,000. I'll be happy to kick that in. Nope. We want to teach kids a lesson.
Wow. Oh, okay.
All right.
So no GoFundMes for these kids.
No GoFundMes.
Darn it. Darn it, because Mike was going to set that up.
I
mean, you can eat a jelly sandwich for a couple of weeks.
I was going to say, that's not too bad.
Come on, it's not like it's October.
Here's the problem, though, is it's not toast.
It's not toast. And they're saying, oh, you know what they're saying? It's not enough calories. If kids are relying on the lunch program for their calorie intake for the day, say that's like your only decent meal.
Okay, so here's the problem with the school lunch, and this is not news to anybody. I'm stating something that's very obvious.
Okay.
But the problem is that if kids are in an economic situation where they're not getting enough,
a good meal at home,
right, then the school provides that.
Yeah.
Okay. But over time, because the school provides it, then the parents don't do it.
Uh-huh, right.
And so there it becomes a – so all of a sudden
– I know my kid's taken care of.
Right. And so if there's a snow day, I've read this, parents are like, well, what's my kid going to do for food?
Oh.
And then you'd say, well, you're the parent.
You should step up.
You're supposed to be feeding your kid.
I think.
But if you're not feeding your kid because they have breakfast, lunch, and in many schools, dinner – is provided by the school.
What? Three meals
a
day?
When I was in Houston, every school I was in, three meals.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
Three meals.
Holy smokes. Who's paying for that?
Yeah. Well, the state's paying for it.
Wow. You and I.
So,
holy heck.
Anyway, but so it's a problem. As a Christian, I come down on the side of, my first thing is I want to feed the kid.
Heck yeah, you do.
I want to feed the kid.
Sure.
But the unintended consequence of it is that we're not teaching people to be good parents.
Hmm.
And that's the problem with the school lunch issue, is that is the kid not paying or is the parent not paying?
Well, the kid's not paying.
Well, I mean, but if the kid's not... so if the kid's in third grade, they don't have any method of income anyway. So it's really the parent who's not paying.
Right, exactly.
So you're going to punish the kid because their parent isn't.
There's a scuffle.
Right, isn't paying. But let's go back to the fact that you never had a cafeteria.
No, we never did.
In your school.
None of them.
Did you have – so you sat at your desk and ate your food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or we walked home.
Right.
So we'd walk home, eat lunch. My poor mother. I mean, you know, she just let us out the door.
Right.
Then all of a sudden she's making lunch. Then all seven kids come back home, eat lunch, and then go back home again. Then she's got to do those, you know, clean up after lunch. Then she's got to get dinner on the table because in a few hours we'll be back for that. She did that for years.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
All right. So there was no lunchbox for you. It was just a brown paper bag?
My earliest memory of growing up is not yet, you know, being in elementary school. And my mother had brown paper bags with everybody's name on it. And me thinking as a kid, I can't wait till I get my own bag with my own name on it. So there was maybe a stray lunchbox or two.
Okay.
But, you know, not really.
So you didn't have the Hardy Boys lunchbox?
No, never. No, that was for somebody else.
That was awesome.
Those were those kids with a silver spoon in their mouths.
Oh, was I the kid with the silver spoon because I had
Did you Hardy have Boy? One? Did you have a lunchbox?
Well, I had a lunchbox, yeah.
And a thermos?
And a thermos. The thermos came inside the lunchbox.
Yeah, of course it did.
I mean, that was cool.
You must have had a big zip code.
You
in Beverly Hills? That's what it feels like.
It was nothing but cash in my household. You know what's interesting, though, is we didn't have a cafeteria until I was maybe in fourth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would go and we would eat in the gym.
That can't be healthy.
Which isn't really good. When I look back on it, I think that's a shame.
I'll have a side of athlete's foot, please, and some noodles.
Yeah, so you'd go through the cafeteria line. They'd give you your food, and you'd go eat in the gym.
Yuck. Wouldn't you sit on the floor?
No, they had tables, like folding tables that they put up.
Okay. Well, I mean, my kids...
So even in high school, you didn't have a cafeteria?
No. We had... No, no. I grew up in Swissville. Okay.
Well, Swissville has cafeterias.
I don't think so.
What? I'm pretty sure as of right now, Swissfield has
cafeterias. No, they don't.
No, they don't.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
Yeah, of course.
No, I can guarantee you they don't.
I think they do.
No, Kath.
Okay, well, I was in high school, my cafeteria made good food. Now, people I graduated with do not agree with me on that, but good I don't food. Care. I believe that they're wrong. I enjoyed the food in the North Hills cafeteria.
Well, my kids went to, they went to Pucks, Pittsburgh Urban Christian School, and they didn't have a school lunch there, I don't think. No, because we met. But then they went to, when in high school, they went to another school. One day I showed up for like a parent-teacher thing. These kids are having like beef stroganoff. I was like, I don't get beef stroganoff at home. And they're like having that at lunch.
Mm-hmm. You were thinking maybe I'll enroll.
Maybe, or be it something.
Okay. No, I like
just
it.
Just saying.
Okay.
Anyway, peanut butter and jelly.
Peanut butter and jelly, always the perfect standby.
No shame there.
I had it yesterday. I loved it. You put it on a rice cake, you're good to go.
Forget that rice cake thing.
Add some Ovaltine to your milk. You can be happy like me. Coming up next, we're going to talk about being a refugee in the immigration debate, but from a personal perspective. Joel Dumba with us next.
WORD.
Playing Pittsburgh's favorite Christian music on the weekend. With the best new music.
New music from Josh Wilson. Borrow one day at a time.
Don't borrow. No trouble for tomorrow.
Till I Found You from Phil Wickham. And Reason New from Unspoken.
The best new music and Pittsburgh's favorites.
Sponsored by Trinity Jewelers.
101.5 WORD on the weekend.
Following is a true story.
My name is David Bryant. When I was 37, my wife and I decided to get term life insurance through SelectQuote. Just 3 years later, I was diagnosed with ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. Because of life insurance, the people I love most in this world will be protected no matter what happens to me. I know that the dreams I have for my family can still come true. Financial security, to stay in the home we became a family in, and for our children to be able to go to college. I reached out to SelectQuote because I wanted to share my story. If just one person purchases life insurance, I know I will have made a difference.
SelectQuote can find a 37-year-old male a $500,000 policy for under a dollar a day.
If there are people you care about, you need life insurance. It may be the single most important financial decision of your life.
Don't put off protecting your family. Get your free quote now. Call 800-671-7770. That's 800-671-7070, 800-671-7070, or go to SelectQuote.com. This is a paid endorsement. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Not available in all states.
Today's world craves leaders. Leaders with vision, moral character, and independent thinking. Leaders aren't born, they're made. And since 1986, Rhema Christian School in Moon has laid the foundation that makes leaders. Through academic and extracurricular activities designed to be as instructional as they are competitive. Through mission and service opportunities, arts and athletics, an independent school where pre-K through 8th grade students are formed to become the independent leaders of tomorrow. Schedule a tour at RhemaChristianSchool.org.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.5%. APR 4.7%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2% fee. Receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
And now, a quick comparison from Grasshopper. When you're always on the go, what would you prefer? An office phone system?
Hey, it's Rochelle. Sorry I missed you earlier. Had an errand to run, but I'm back in the office, so give me a call when you get this.
Or one that works on your cell phone. No hardware needed, courtesy of Grasshopper.
Oh, one sec. It's a business call. Hi, this is Rochelle with WayForward Partners. How can I help?
There's no contest. Put your best voice forward with Grasshopper, the virtual phone system for small business. Try it free at grasshopper.com.
God's amazing. I mean, he brings people in situations you think, well, how did that even happen? That people find Christ. Joel Dumba is with us. Joel's got a story to tell, and I really just kind of want to get out of his way so he sort of opens up. But from the Sudan to Pittsburgh and places in between, Joel, we welcome you to the ride home.
Thank you very much. It's really great to be here in Pittsburgh, and I love Pittsburgh. It's my home.
Excellent.
Wonderful. All right, Joel, so let's start at the beginning. You are Sudanese?
I am a South Sudanese.
Okay.
The difference is we used to be under one country, the Sudan. But the country was divided in 2011.
Okay.
So South has become an independent country.
Got it. Okay. So yeah. You're South Sudanese.
Yes, I am a South Sudanese.
And you lost your mom and dad when you were a young boy.
Oh, yeah. I lost my mother when I was 6 years old.
What happened?
It was a natural death. But before my mother died, we were born, we are nine in number. I have five sisters, and I had three other brothers. But unfortunately, whenever my mother gives birth to a baby boy, the boy dies.
I see.
Mm.
And then when I was when my mother conceived with me, nobody knew that she was going to give birth to a son. And my father had a lot of pressure from the family because culturally, if you don't have a son in the family, then your family is considered to be a doom family. So my father deserted my mother quietly, and he left Uganda, which is our neighboring country, without even informing my mother he was going literally to, you know, to desert her.
Wow.
So my mother was struggling with her five daughters, and then when she gave birth to me, and it happened that I'm the only son that survived to my mother.
So as you came into the world, I'm sure as hard as it was for your mother, there was also rejoicing as well that a boy has arrived.
Correct. Actually, my name, which means Dumba, which is my last name. My mother, literally in language, it can be defined as a child, or it's misfortunate that she wasn't sure that I was going to survive. So literally it means I am not sure if this son is going to live.
I see. So you come into the world here in very shaky circumstances, right? Your father's gone. There are five sisters ahead of you. Your mother, she's fragile as well. So the early days in Sudan must have been difficult, but of course you're a baby, you're a young toddler, you knew nothing of the difficulty. Can you talk about those early memories of what it was like to grow up like that? Your mother was able to provide for the family or not?
Basically, my mother was a subsistence farmer.
I see.
She wasn't educated to the level that she could get employed. But when my father left, and he went to East Africa, to Uganda, and he got married to two other different wives. And there he had four other children born with the other wives that he married in Uganda.
Did you ever meet your father?
I met him shortly, but after that I never lived with him.
I see.
Yeah, but basically when I was born, my mother was struggling with life. It was a very difficult life as a single mother and not employed, struggling for the life of, you know, providing meals to the hands, to the mouths of six children.
Right.
It wasn't easy. And then, unfortunately, when she passed away, when I was 6 years old, and my mother passed away immediately, 6 years, I lived only with her only for 6 years, and then she passed away.
So as your mother dies, then what happens to you and your five sisters?
It's a sad thing to say about this. Sometimes these are some of the things that when I think about it, it really affects me.
I'm sure.
We were distributed into the families of the relatives, just like properties to be taken care of.
Just broken up.
Yes, we broken up because there was nobody who would provide meals and the basic needs to them, you know, to us.
I see.
So we were distributed to different families of the relatives.
And you went with who?
I was given to my uncle, unfortunately, the uncle who was whom I was given to was very abusive. He was alcoholic, and he also had a number of children. He was able to provide education to his children, but he never allowed me to go to school.
Wow. So how did you escape that? Was there even a possibility?
Well, I had one of my uncles that that lived in Juba, the capital city, now which is the capital city of South Sudan. But before that, it was like a commercial city. So my uncle, he worked with the prisons as a prison officer.
I see.
And my older sister, who was given to him, to my uncle, who is the prison officer, was able to take care of my sister. And then my cousins, that, you know, the cousins from my uncles.
Yes.
One of my cousins came from my uncle's house. She traveled 100 miles to where I was because she used to visit my mother before my mother passed away. Mm-hmm. My cousin loved me. She loved me dearly because she was named after my mother. And whenever she was with my mother, she feels like she is in the right hand.
Mm-hmm.
And when my mother passed away, I think my cousin was very affected with the death of my mother. And she was crying. She was looking at what a tragedy at the family, that the aunt's family, which she normally comes for vacation, is already dismantled. And life became very difficult. But she was really thinking about me all the time. So she traveled to 100 miles from Juba to Yei, where I was born. And then she went to meet with me at my uncle's house, who is very abusive.
Mm-hmm.
She actually kidnapped me at night.
Wow.
Because she was saying, no, I don't think this is the right place for my cousin to live here. So she took me to Juba.
Do you remember that, being kidnapped?
I remember. You know, she was kidnapping me in a good faith.
Sure, she woke you up and said, but we should leave now.
Yes. We traveled, and then we traveled also at that same uncle, who is the father of my cousin. He had three wives. And there were 26 children in the family. And I was the child number 27.
So you were not missed terribly.
I wasn't missed terribly, but no, I meant to be the way I was going to in Juba.
I see, I see.
He is the one that his daughter came to kidnap me.
Oh, okay.
So he is the one who has three wives and 26 children.
Holy
and then I was the child number 27 in the family. And food was not there on the table. You know, it was difficult. Life was terrible. You can imagine from that home of my abusive alcoholic uncle, life was terrible. I was actually struggling with what to do. I could go and clean up women who want some help. They could ask me to go and fetch some water.
I see.
You know, the reason they want those services in order for me to get some food to eat. So they can go and say, go and fetch some water. And then I could go about 5 miles with a gallon of water and bring the water home. To whoever, this is not only from my uncle's house, just the neighbors, the families who are surrounding my uncle's house.
How old were you?
I was 7. I was already between 6 and 7.
5 gallons of water is heavy.
Yes, it was. I could carry actually 2 gallons at the same time.
I see.
So, life was not easy. I was almost becoming what people call here in America homeless.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In Africa, we use the term street children or street kid.
So you were just on the fringes.
Oh, it was difficult. I was just like, if I was hungry, I was like going to the trash bags or trash cans and look for the remnants of the food that people have thrown out.
Yes.
And if there's some pieces of bread and something that I can be able just to grasp and make a living.
But Jill, something happened. I mean, you're sitting across from us now. You're obviously very well spoken. Your English is very strong. You're wearing gorgeous clothing. You're here in the United States. Someone intervened.
Sure. Actually, I might be able to say something very briefly about this. I have one of my favorite verse in the Bible. It is in the 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 8 to 10. And that is to answer your question. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He sits them with the princes and have them inherit the throne of honor. For the foundation of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful servant, that the wicked will be silenced in the place of darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be broken. The Most High will thunder from heaven. The Lord will judge the earth. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed one. I picked this verse just to answer this question. I never knew that you were going to ask me that question. But basically, I just want to make sure that my listeners outside there, they hear this story from somebody picked up from the ash heap, a child like me, through God's intervention. I became who I am today. It's through somebody. I have a mother. She is a British. She's from England. She was a missionary in my country. And when she met with me in the church, because since that age that I mentioned before.
7 years old,
carrying two gallons of water,
a street kid.
Exactly. 6, 7 years old, I was in the church. Despite of all that hardshipness, I was in the church. So I met with this lady who became my mother. Her name is Caroline Maury. She's English, from England. So she was a missionary in Africa, and she was a teacher for children's ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So she was teaching us in the class one day. I couldn't remember actually what she was talking about, but she was teaching us, and she wanted us, all the children, to come one of the Saturdays for Parents' Day, children coming with their parents to celebrate. And she asked if I could bring my parents together. And that broke my heart. So when she said, I want every child on Saturday to come with his parents or her parents, and I was like, what am I going to do?
Yes.
I don't have nobody to bring. So, and she looked at me, tears were running from my cheeks, and she said, what's going on? And I said, I don't have no parents with me. So that is how she said, okay, I want to take care of you. And I was just like, how can somebody like you take care of a child who is the bare feet,
mm-hmm.
with no clothes, no decent clothes, and to be living with a white lady, you know? But she didn't intend, basically, that she was going to take me, like, to become her own child. She wanted to take me home to be like a houseboy, to work for her.
I see.
But that turned to be something different.
We need to take a quick break. Jill Dumba is with us. He's got a story to tell, as you well hear, from Sudan to someone who turned his life around. We'll continue on with this conversation in just a few minutes. Stay with us.
Come celebrate faith, family, and fun Wednesday through the weekend at Neville Rollerdrome. There's something for everyone, from families to youth groups. However you like to roll, from hits old and new to high-energy games, family-friendly favorites to your favorite CCM tunes, Neville Rollerdrome offers a mix of safe, clean family fun for every age. See skate rules and session details at skatenrd.com. Neville Rollerdrome, this is how we roll. At skatenrd.com.
It's where the Sahara meets the Nile and the Mediterranean Sea. Only here exist the perfect conditions for growing the finest cotton in the world. I'm John Hall. Nowhere else can you find cotton so luxuriously soft and light, yet super strong and able to hold deep, vibrant colors wash after wash. It's this very cotton Mike Lindell has used to create My Pillow's Giza Dreams bed sheets. Try them once and you'll never want to sleep on anything else again. And right now, get a special 30% off MyPillow Dream Sheets with free shipping. Use promo code WORD when you call 800-391-0954 or place your order at MyPillow.com. 60-day money-back guarantee if you're not completely satisfied. Call 800-391-0954 or visit MyPillow.com and be sure to use promo code WORD for 30% off plus free shipping. Sweet dreams from MyPillow.
Hi, I'm John Henney from Henney Jewelers. Since 1887, my family has helped people celebrate the most memorable moments in their lives. We are rooted in faith and commit to doing the right thing again and again. We believe in the covenant of marriage and use our To Have and To Hold program to encourage couples as they prepare to spend the rest of their lives together. Please stop into our Shadyside store to learn more or visit HenneyJewelers.com. Henney Jewelers. Your jewelers for life.
Do you dream of owning your own home? Dollar Bank's free Mortgages for Mothers workshop can show you how to break the rent cycle. You'll learn the right way to home ownership with a plan to strengthen your savings and create less debt. You can even get help with restoring bad credit.
Join Lynn Hayes Freeland and Dollar Bank at the free Mortgages for Mothers Home Buying Workshop, Saturday, May 11th at 9 a.m. at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center. Child care will be available. To register, visit MortgagesForMothers.com today. Dollar Bank, Equal Housing Lender.
Does Christian education mean less opportunity for your child in areas like the arts? At Trinity Christian School, it actually means more. With two theatrical productions each year and a musical every other year, plus choir and band starting in fourth and fifth grade, led by accomplished teachers like David Minifield of Saltworks Theater and band director Joe Petrin of the McKeesport Symphony and Duquesne University. Opportunity awaits at Trinity Christian School, ranked among the top K-12 schools in Allegheny County. Trinity Christian School at trinitychristian.net.
A couple of thunderstorms will cross the area this evening, and any thunderstorm could produce some localized flash flooding and damaging winds. The rest of tonight, cloudy and mild with occasional rain and another thunderstorm, low 62. Rather cloudy and not as warm tomorrow with a couple of showers, high 71, the low tomorrow night, 43. Even cooler still Saturday with clouds and sun, high 63. With your Iraqi weather forecast, I'm meteorologist Danielle Niddle.
Joel Duba is with us. Joel is an incredible story of being an orphan child in the Sudan, being adopted by a woman.
In the South Sudan.
In the South Sudan, yes. Coming in to the United States many, many years later. He runs Lincoln's Place International Missions. He started a nonprofit called Agape Heart International Organization, here to tell his story.
All right, Joel, when we left your story before the break, you said that you had just met Carolyn, who was a British missionary, and she had taken you into her home, but not as a child, as a houseboy. That was her expectation.
Correct. She took me to be a houseboy. And when I was with her, she was treating me not like a houseboy.
Hmm.
She was treating me like her own son. She didn't give me heavy duty. All the things that she wanted to do me to do, she could just say, Joel, can you clean the table? Can you take these dishes and wash them?
Basic chores.
It's just small things. And because in my culture, it won't be a good thing for a son of somebody to be working as a houseboy.
I see.
So Miss Carolyn adopted me immediately. She immediately adopted me. And she started calling me She started calling me my son.
So what was that like, Joel? I mean, considering where you were, right, as a six-year-old, and you were essentially a street child, when someone finally loved you, I mean, did you understand that?
I do. It was incredible. It was incredible. So she took care of me, and she went to the school and registered me to the school, because the schools in Africa is not free. So she took me to school, one of the most prestigious school. And she bought me all clothings, shoes, school bags. And she used to drive those Suzuki vehicles, if you can remember. Mm-hmm. She used to drive me in that Suzuki vehicle to school. So I was the only child driven to school. When all of the rest of the children were walking about 10 miles walking on their feet.
Unbelievable.
So I was the child driven to school. And at the end of the day, when classes are over, she also comes back and pick me up. But the funny story is, whenever she drops me to school, all children will come surrounding us in our vehicle before I get out from the car. They want to see how this boy get hooked up with this white lady. And
wow.
They basically, there's a word in Arabic. They say the white person is kawaja. Kawaja means the white person. So when Miss Carolyn drops me off, the children will all sing a song. The song is, they will sing like, "Son of Kawaja, son of Kawaja," means the son of a white woman, son of white woman. And they will all clap their hands.
Funny.
And then when Miss Carolyn comes back in the evening to pick me back home, and they can sing the same song. And it becomes like their normal song. And because everybody loves me. I was like, that was how Miss Carolyn came into my life.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
So, Joel, obviously, you're a learned man. For someone in your position to find their way out of poverty, out of homelessness, someone loves you, someone takes care of you, you've got a master's degree, at least one master's degree. At what point in your life was there something that happened that you thought, I'm going to be called here to something higher?
Well, I knew when I was growing up, and when Miss Carolyn started planting the seed in me, and, you know, I was looking at, where is she coming from? Why did she leave London, the great country, you know, the great city?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Why did she leave London and then, you know, coming to Africa, living in where there's no water, where there's no electricity, where there is no hospital, where there are no roads, and she drives all over remote areas. I was asking myself, why did she leave that luxurious life to come and live here?
Yes.
And when I started learning about that, and I said, okay, when I grow up, I want to know exactly what is the secret behind that. Why did she do that? And I want to also, if somebody somewhere was able to help me to be who I am today, I need to be somewhere to help somebody. And that's why when I came even to this country, wherever I'm working right now, I am more than comfortable. I think I am enjoying my job. That it is, I don't call this as a job, but I call it is a ministry that God has called me to.
Nice. Okay, so you put this thought in my head. With Carolyn, was there a secret? Was she somehow, why did she do what she did?
I think because of the love of God. That is all because of the love of God. And I was, you know, she never married. She never married. She never got her own biological child. And she dedicated her life until today. She's still there. She actually initiated a primary school in my hometown in Yei right now. I don't know where she's getting the resources from, but she has the primary school. It's called Emmanuel Primary School. And she is still supporting that school. And this lady has something that is beyond even my understanding.
No doubt. Yeah. So when you graduated from the University of Pittsburgh and you got your master's degree, what was that like? Did she come to see you?
Did you call and tell her?
Well, I was before I came to America, when I was admitted to the school, I told her that I was accepted to the University of Pittsburgh, one of the most prestigious university. It's almost ranked number 10 mm-hmm. in, you know, especially UPMC.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she was crying.
Of course she was.
Yes, she was crying. She was just saying, it's not about me. She always tell me that it is, Joel, it is you who have put a lot of effort to that. It's not about me. Always whenever I say, Mom, thank you for all that you're doing for me. And she said, I also return back to you because you have something that even I can understand.
That's fabulous. God is faithful. We need to take just another quick break. Joel Dumba is with us. He's got a story to tell. He runs Lincoln's Place International Missions, also the nonprofit Agape Heart International Organization. Stick around. Joel Dumba will stay with us as well. We hope that you're part of the conversation.
Thank you.
Okay, here's the deal. Mortgage rates went up this year, right? Wrong. If you're looking to lower your monthly payment or thinking of getting cash out of your home, mortgage rates are actually now the lowest in months. But the clock's ticking, and at Cash Call Mortgage, there's no better time to take advantage than right now. Call us, 800-605-2161. Speak with one of our refinance specialists today, and you may be able to lock in the lowest rates of the year before they're gone. We'll even get the process started without the upfront deposit other lenders still charge. That's 800-605-2161. Refinance with Cash Call Mortgage today. Impact Mortgage Corp. DBA Cash Call Mortgage. NMLS ID 128231. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in all states, including New York. Call 855-657-9910 for licensing terms and restrictions. Don't let these low rates pass you by. All you need to get started is a phone. Dial 800-605-2161. Again, 800-605-2161. Refinance with Cash Call Mortgage today.
Hey, TBN, the largest Christian television network in the whole world, has launched its very first daily TV show made especially for women. It's underway. In this TV show, this project, this brand new offering from TBN, it's called Better Together. Now, Better Together features different voices and different faces each week. This week, we're featuring Laurie Crouch, Christine Kane, Alex Seeley, Jen Johnson, and Diana Nepsta. And they're talking about real stuff that matters to women today. So whether it's a relationship with your spouse or how to serve well in a church, maybe it's making the most of your friendships. This is women talking together about the things that you want to talk about too. So don't miss it. Tune in, would you? TBN's Better Together. It's on every day, 1:30 p.m. Eastern.
Hi, this is Tutt Schilke. Join me and head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike Tomlin, Steelers players Vance McDonald and Stephon Tuitt, and pastors Brian Loretz and Ed Glover for Man Up Pittsburgh on Saturday, June 8th at Victory Family Church in Cranberry. Man Up is a day for all men to work on becoming the best godly leaders they can be. There'll be free food, fellowship, worship, powerful messages, and dynamic breakout sessions. From high schoolers to grandfathers, this is for you. Register today at manuppittsburgh.org. Hosted by Urban Impact and brought to you locally by Chick-fil-A of Pittsburgh.
Indulge your taste for adventure on a 10-day, once-in-a-lifetime tour of South Africa. Explore Johannesburg, Soweto, and Cape Town. Go on safari through Kruger National Park and come face-to-face with Africa's Big Five. Or dive into the domain of the great white shark and live to tell the tale. Pittsburgh Airport Area Chamber presents South Africa. Departing Pittsburgh April 21st of 2020. Full details at paacc.com/travel.
Share, like, comment, tweet. Are these foreign terms to your business? They may not be to your competition and the reason you're losing sales. We're Salem Surround. We take the mystery of digital marketing off your shoulders, letting you run your business while we deliver customers. We offer a free analysis of your digital marketing effectiveness and suggest methods that could dramatically increase your sales. Learn more by logging on to surroundpittsburgh.com. Surroundpittsburgh.com. Connecting you with new customers.
We're hearing the amazing story of Joel Dumba. He was born in South Sudan, orphaned at 6 years old, roaming the streets when a British missionary took him in and changed his life for the better forever. He is a graduate of the University of Pittsburgh, where he has a master's degree and working here in nonprofit and ministry.
Joel, I want to hear about your family, about your wife and your children. Tell us that story. Where are they?
Well, my family, when I came to U.S., they were in I left all my two sons. They used to go to school in Uganda before I came. They go to school because of the education system was very poor. So in 2013, my two sons, they went back to, they were going for Christmas to join my wife and my two adopted daughters. I adopted two daughters. God gave me two biological sons and I adopted two daughters. So my sons, David and Daniel, they were going to celebrate the Christmas with their mother in Juba. Then when they arrived the city on December the 14th, December the 15th, 2013, the war broke out.
So the war broke out the next day.
Yes, the war broke out the next day. And the funny thing was, when my sons came home, my wife had gone to see her mother in Yei, which is our home city where I was born, where my wife is also born. So she went home to visit my mother-in-law, so that she could come back and join my sons and celebrate the Christmas together.
I see.
Then that was the time when the war broke out. She was cut off in Yei. My two boys were cut off in Juba.
Mm.
So they were separated from each other for 45 days.
Oh, my goodness.
My wife did not know where her sons are. My sons didn't know where their mother was.
Oh, my goodness.
For 45 days. And then there was no communication. The satellite was cut off. There was no flights. There were no vehicles traveling by land. People were all fenced inside the city, and people were killed like not human beings.
Oh my goodness!
People died. Over 600 people died on the same night. So my wife was cut off, and then my sons found their way. Because, boys are very, they can be sometimes sneaky. They found their way. They walked. They crossed the border to Uganda. They went back to Uganda. And my wife was cut off where she did not know where to meet with the boys. So life was very difficult for all of them. And I was cut off here. There was no communication.
So three separate members, you're all in different
countries. Yes.
You're all in different countries.
We're all in different three countries.
How terrifying.
Oh, my goodness. Then the wife of my pastor here in Pittsburgh.
Who's your pastor?
My pastor, his name is Joseph Stamp.
Yes. And his wife's name?
Her name is Judy Stamp. This church is a very prayerful church. Imagine this is a church that came to my life. They never met me physically, but they heard about me because my cousin lives in Pittsburgh here.
I see.
And I was already in Tennessee by that time. So I was looking for a church where my cousin could go to church to fellowship at. So I look online and I found the church. So my cousin goes to the Lincoln Place Church of the Nazarene.
Lincoln Place Church of the Nazarene.
Yes.
What neighborhood?
It is in Pittsburgh.
I see.
Yeah.
In the city here.
It is in the city. It's in Lincoln Place, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So, to make the story short, when I was hooked up, my cousin goes to this church. The wife of the pastor one day just called me and said, "Hey, Joe, thank you for bringing your cousin to the church. And I want to know about you. I want to know about your story." She is a mission-driven woman. She loves all people from all people grounds, people color, people countries. She doesn't care wherever you come from. She loves all people from every country. So she was very inquisitive. She was asking me where I come from. Basically, then I told her about who I am. And the first question she asked me, "Where is the family?" And I told her the family is in South Sudan. How it happened? I narrated the whole story. And she said, "Is there any way we can help?" I said, "I don't know." She said, "If it's a financial issue, we as a church will work hard, mobilize resources, at least to rescue a family."
Is that what happened?
Yes. They're rescuing my family.
Very nice. Again, we need to take just a quick break. Joel Dumba is with us telling us an amazing story. Stay with us. We look for some sort of conclusion.
Yeah.
Maybe not the end of the story, but at least the process thereof. Stay with us.
A moo-moo here and a moo-moo there. Here a moo, there a moo, everywhere a moo-moo.
Hi there, it's me, Marcia from the Springhouse, inviting you out to our Real Working Dairy Farm in 84 PA on the Saturday before Memorial Day for our annual Farm Heritage Day. During this annual event, two giant tents will hold 20-plus old-time crafters, sharing their wares with you like sheep shearing, wool spinning, quilting, and leather punching. Our old-fashioned chore girls will be churning butter, kneading bread dough, and rolling pie dough, and they'll need lots of help too. Take the tour of our modern milking facility where you get to try your hand at milking Sally the Tour Cow. The Springhouse Cooks will feature all kinds of fabulous eats inside, too. So come hungry for hot roast beef and gravy, real mashed potatoes, and so much more. Farm Heritage Day at the Springhouse on Saturday of Memorial Day weekend, 11 to 4. Let us share a little of our farm with you. Springhousemarket.com or give us a call at 724-228-3339.
If you're drowning in IRS debt and can't afford to pay, then you need to take advantage of special IRS tax programs that are available and free yourself from IRS collection efforts once and for all. Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing throughout the country, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle delinquent tax problems. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call the Community Tax Helpline at 800-500-5588. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back, or even if you have years of unfiled tax returns, there's no need to fear anymore, but you have to call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-500-5588 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-500-5588 for your free consultation and to see if you qualify. That's 800-500-5588.
I didn't think that a dentist could be a personable, loving person and actually care, but you really do get that feeling from her.
Exceptional dentistry meets compassionate care with Dr. Megan Stock.
From my previous experiences, it was more of a transactional thing versus a relationship. But with Dr. Megan, it's more you want to go back because you want to get caught up on what's been happening and you want to talk to her about things. So it's kind of cool.
Stock Family Dentistry on Perry Highway in Wexford at StockFamilyDentistry.com.
Right now, there's a child living in extreme poverty with no future and no hope. But you can bring hope when you become a Compassion International sponsor. Just text the word CHILD to 83393 and sponsor a child right now.
From South Sudan to the city of Pittsburgh, Joel Dumba is telling us a story.
Joel, thanks to the unbelievable generosity of your friends at Lincoln Place Church of the Nazarene in West Mifflin, your family was reunited, and they have been together in a refugee camp in Uganda since 2015. Mm-hmm. So they've been in a refugee camp for 4 years. What will you be reunited with them?
This is what I'm expecting right now is I'm just waiting for the approval from the embassy, because the documents are all sent to the embassy for their traveling to United States.
Okay, so the United States has approved them as refugees.
Yes.
But it's a matter of the government in Uganda communicating through the refugee camp and finding your family.
No, it is the U.S. embassy in Uganda will communicate with my family and just let them to be given the traveling documents.
Okay, so they could come to the United States in 2 weeks, in 6 months, in 5 years. You don't know.
It can happen any time what the government just said, because the priority is always first to come, first to serve.
I see. So yeah. Get in line.
Yes.
How do you live in the interim? How are you thinking about that?
It was so difficult to live without a family when you are married with your children and then you get separated. It's just heartbreaking.
Yes. And now all this time has passed. You and your wife have not seen each other. Your children have gone from young children now to adult children.
Correct. Yeah.
Oh, Joel, blessings to you. We've got just a minute or so left. I know you want to talk about what's happening here locally.
Well, thank you very much. I just want to say thank you to the Wood FM and all the friends around, and even my colleagues at work and the Church of the Lincoln Place Church of the Nazarene, for all the compassion, the love, the care that they provided me. I am more than blessed. Not only blessed, but because of God's provision. And thank you very much. I hope to come again and have more time to discuss.
Hope that you're able to come again and that we're able to meet your wife and your four children.
Yes, please.
And we pray for their entrance into our country.
Thank you very much, and may God bless you.
God bless you. It's an amazing story, Joel. Our show's over for today, but if you want to check out portions of the show, we're on iTunes.
Or all the show on iTunes.
I guess so, yeah.
It doesn't have to be portions.
You
can listen to the whole darn thing. Yeah. I think you should.
Or johnandkathyshow.com, wordfm.com.
Or find us on all the social media platforms where we exist.
Very nice. Hey, thanks for being with us. As always, a great pleasure. God willing, we'll see you same time tomorrow. Have a great night.
Bye-bye.
The Ride Home with John and Kathy, a production of Salem Media Group.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.